And I would like to address myself now to the next topic, which is, what is spiritual direction? I doubt if there is anything in the spiritual life that is more practically important and more commonly misunderstood than spiritual direction. I would first like to give a description of what I call spiritual direction. It has many definitions, and none of them, of course, is complete. I would say, in general, most people have their own idea of what spiritual direction means. Even the one directed can have a different idea of the one who is doing the direction. At least, my suggested definition would be, spiritual direction is the systematic assistance given to a person to grow in the practice of Christian virtue and attain the sanctity proper to his state of life. I would say that spiritual direction is the systematic assistance given to a person to grow in the practice of Christian virtue and attain the sanctity proper to his state of life. As you see immediately, much depends on who is getting the direction, in what state of life the person either is or intends to enter. Suppose I analyze the definition, which will bring out some features, and in the process, also highlight what may be missed. First of all, it is assistance. It presumes, therefore, that those who wish to practice Christian virtue, and especially who want to grow in holiness, need help. The help is, first of all, for the mind, to enlighten the mind. And secondly, to strengthen the will. And I wouldn't even be ready to say which of these two is more important. But I would say that enlightening the mind is prior to strengthening the will. Most of spiritual direction, therefore, is directed to the mind and through the mind to reach the will. Which is one reason why Teresa of Avila was so eager to get spiritual directors who were, as she said, intelligent. In other words, it is one thing to get encouragement, fervorinos. It's another thing to be enlightened in mind. The direction is first to the mind. Again, this assistance can be given personally and directly, where the one directed is seated or standing next to the person who is giving the direction. It can also be indirect. It seems to be a contradiction. Indirect direction. I prefer the words immediate direction, where you're immediately talking with and directing a soul who needs help, and immediate direction, which then would be mainly by mail, correspondence, telephone, or other available means of social communication. Just a word about each. In today's communications world, a great deal of spiritual direction can be given immediately or indirectly without necessarily having the person right there in front of you. Secondly, it should be systematic. This covers a number of things. First of all, if it is spiritual direction, it is fairly regular. And this applies to people in the world or in the religious life or planning, say, to become religious. A certain regularity in direction is, I would say, necessary. Secondly, it is more or less protracted, but I would say not unnecessarily prolonged. It does not mean that any given time given to the person in direction will be, say, a long period of time. Provided you know what you're supposed to say, in a few minutes you can give good spiritual direction. Whereas in a couple of hours, you can waste your time and the other person's time. By protracted, I rather mean that it goes on over a certain period of time, months, often, as we know from the lives of the saints, even years. I want to insert another thought. When I say regular, I don't necessarily mean frequent. Having taught priests almost all my priestly life, and you will understand why I'm saying it, be sure you do not unnecessarily protract your direction of women. First of all, it can be a waste of time. And secondly, what begins in the spirit can end in the flesh. So it shouldn't be, at any given time, too long. Otherwise, the human element enters. And secondly, it need not be frequent. And I had my years-long convictions confirmed when I read in Blessed Aloysius Guanella. That's what he told his priests. Watch out. Don't spend any more time than you need. If the sister or the woman needs help, she'll write again. And I can tell you from experience, they do. Still on the subject of systematic, and this is most important, it should be mutually agreed upon. And I would stress mutually. This lack of mutual agreement can fail on either side. Either the directee pressures, pushes, insists, and the director, often against his better judgment, keeps giving spiritual direction to a person, perhaps, that is not really being helped. Notice the second word of our definition was assistance. I tell priests, you stop being spiritual directors the moment you discover you're not doing much good. bid them Godspeed, say a prayer, and part company. Or the other side, the director can, for whatever reasons, either personal satisfaction or selfish interest, under the guise of spiritual direction, may be giving what is not so much spiritual direction as not so spiritual signs of affection. It should therefore be mutually agreed upon. And the agreement, I should say, ought to be done before God. Fourth part of the systematic. It presumes, and this is the hard one, authentic spiritual direction presumes manifestation of conscience. What does that mean? It means that the one that I'm directing, no duress, no pressure, but nevertheless, must willingly and freely manifest his or her conscience. As we'll see in a few minutes, spiritual direction is either of the interior life or it's not spiritual direction. Well, how can I possibly give interior direction to a person whose interior life I don't know? Am I clear? This bears much more attention than I think we commonly give it. First of all, absolutely speaking, and this is the wisdom of the church, no one is ever obliged to manifest his conscience, obliged, I say, to this or that particular person, even this or that particular confessor, right? Confessor A, I might find it next to impossible to manifest my conscience to. Confessor B, I may feel easy and free to do so. Very well. I have the freedom to choose confessor B over confessor A. Now that is true even regarding the sacrament. A fortiori in the pursuit of perfection. Now this, of course, in religious communities of women who by definition are not ordained priests and consecrated cannot hear the confessions of those whom they are directing. This calls for great prudence, great wisdom, and genuine selfless charity on the part of the one who is directing. Prudence in the sense that I don't, as the expression goes, prod. I don't try to force the person to manifest his or her conscience. The responsibility, obviously, lies on the one directed. In other words, they are free. And I suppose after 35 years in the priesthood, gave my first retreat to sisters the year after my ordination, what an experience that was. Well, I've learned an awful, and I mean awful lot. One thing that I've learned is that women, and this is their nature, tend not to be naturally self-revealing. It is part of the mystery of a woman. It is part of the attraction and appeal of women. Whatever the reasons founded on nature, women do not spontaneously reveal themselves. secondly, I've learned that as between revealing themselves to another woman or to a man, women tend to be even more reserved naturally in dealing with women. If, as we're saying, there can be no genuine spiritual direction without manifestation of conscience, I would say the single most subtle and difficult aspect in the spiritual direction of women, especially by women, is to encourage, evoke, pray for, and try to obtain God's grace for the people who must manifest themselves if I'm to direct them. I can't get into a car unless I know what I'm driving. And the steering wheel may be in good shape, but where do I go? What do I do with this machine? And human nature is much more subtle than a machine. We may have occasion to touch on this again. I just want to emphasize the importance of manifestation of conscience. This, of course, will immediately, as we'll touch on later on in our reflections, this will immediately raise the very difficult, the down-to-earth question as to who is really directing, for example, a given religious woman. Is it her superior? Is it the one who is, canonically, say, in charge of her spiritual life? Is it the confessor? Is it maybe some priest with whom maybe the sister is in correspondence only once a year who really determines how this person is living, say, her spiritual life? And even that, I would say part of this manifestation of conscience ought to be a manifestation of whom, say, the one being directed is in contact with. Otherwise, all I know, and how well I know, direction can be given at cross purposes, well-intentioned, well-meaning people. And absentee directors, by definition, don't know as much about the person as present, flesh and blood directors right there. In any case, manifestation of conscience. I would say without that, let me change it, the more open a soul is with the one who is considered the spiritual director, the more effective, always under God, will be the direction. And for women, and I say this with a lot of experience, with women, it is the reluctance of manifesting especially the interior movements of their soul. And the victory over nature and the profound humility that this requires, only God realizes. We are still analyzing our definition. I've used the word given. In other words, is the systematic assistance given? What does that mean? It may mean that the direction is being given for years. And as we mentioned earlier, it doesn't necessarily mean often. Margaret and Mary were seldom in contact with Blessed Claude Colombier, and yet he was her spiritual director. And except for the early period, St. Jane Frances did not frequently get direction from St. Francis de Sales. I would say that the essence of spiritual direction, if I were to further identify it, it is that direction on which the directed person depends. In other words, there is a receptivity on the part of the one being directed. Otherwise, I may think I'm directing, but all I'm really doing is talking to the person. Still on the word given, it is a selective direction. Now, the word direction is both active and passive. I mean especially it is selective as passive direction. The one directing may be directing many people. And priests normally, depending on their pastoral work and competence, may have quite a few people. But the one being directed has somehow made a choice. It does not mean exclusive. That would be most unusual and is not either necessary or, I would say, even possible that just one person will be giving the person direction. But there is, however, some one person whom the directed individual considers as normative. In other words, a sort of court of last appeal or the final arbiter. And this is where imprudence on the part of people getting direction can do more damage than all kinds of incompetent direction. Because their imprudence in shopping around, getting advice from this person, advice from that person, getting contrary advice from B and never telling A, then going to C to find out kind of an umpire between A and B. And these people may finger the beads of their rosary and look very pious, eyes cast down, may spend hours a day in prayer. How well I know. But they lack, let's put it, prudence, the wisdom of a certain selectivity. Now this is where the director, first of all, must be humble and also judicious, not resent or be jealous. If you don't know, let me tell you, you can't imagine all the interpersonal relations that can enter into the picture and confuse God's work. Finally, under the word given, and I cannot overemphasize, spiritual direction presumes confidentiality on the part of the one directing. You just don't talk about that which someone has shared with you in confidence, and they don't have to be always saying, I want you to keep this confidential. I want you to keep this confidential. It's assumed. Now, there are some people whose every second sentence is a secret. Well, this is part of the direction they've got to get over there. Their secret of the habit. But I'm talking about ordinary, normal individuals. What they share with a person whom they consider their director, they expect to be kept secret. This raises problems. Problems, especially, say, in a community where the direction, based on confidential information, may affect not just the life of this individual, but other lives and the community. And that's where the director may need direction as to how much or under what circumstances something might be divulged. One way that I recommend to people who seek direction is to obtain from them some kind of better spoken agreement. Yes, this is confidential, but if you really have to tell and even identify whom to get some kind of permission, may I tell, say, Mother General? Or, an easier way out, would you tell? In other words, remember, the immediate purpose of spiritual direction is this soul in front of me. What I learned from spiritual direction will many times affect people outside that individual. Well, why should I assume the can be dreadful responsibility of divulging to a third party when maybe the common sense thing to do is to tell the person, now you say this. Makes sense. And there are things which they may say they don't have to tell another person, although they tell me. All I know is great sensitivity, and again with apologies for saying it, especially with women, great care, extreme caution in not talking about what someone has in obvious confidence shared with you about their interior life.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.